go. Best laid plans of mice and men sometimes go astray. And with all things Oshkosh, one needs to remain not only flexible, but fluid. Our next guest is, I believe, delayed in traffic, so we'll see what this segment brings for us. But right now, Tom Balistrieri from EIA Radio is back in the studio. And good morning, Tommy.
Can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you.
Yeah, how about now?
It's getting better.
There you go.
You're a little hollow, but okay. we'll take it.
Sorry about that. So, I think we're probably...
About now. There you go. Helps when you pop up the right mic.
Let's talk a little bit about EIA Radio and how it came to be and what you've all been doing on the north end of the field for the last week.
Well, EIA Radio has been around for, I want to say it's 22 years now. I believe this is our 22nd year of operation. I was not around back then, but it was started by a couple folks, including our own Digital Dave, who used to hang around in the comm center, and I think they just wanted to give him something to do. So they put him in a room with a microphone and attached to a small transmitter, and he would read AV Today articles. And that was really how this all started a long time ago. We're now in our third station, our third location, I should say, because we started off, like I said, in a room in the comm center. We moved to a building on the flight line, and now we're over next to AV Today, building T on your map, broadcasting from all over the grounds. And I think we've really grown our programming, grown our structure, and grown our staff, for that matter. We're roughly 40 people out here now, trying to bring the sounds of AirVenture to people on the grounds and people around the world.
Yes, yeah, starting from that broom closet, basically, in the communication.
Exactly. With what I describe as like a principal microphone, you know, like you see in, you know, TVs and movies where you push the little button on the base to talk.
It was a little lower quality than it is now.
Yeah, we've tried to step up our game every year. We tried to bring a little bit extra each time. This year we've been, we set up a YouTube stream. We've always had a stream of remotes and in studio cameras, stuff like that, so you can kind of see the action as well as hear. This year we added a little something extra, not necessarily directly related to our programming, but we have a YouTube stream of an ADS-B receiver we installed on the roof, along with ATC from, it's been the Fisk approach all week. We're going to change it today over to the control tower frequency.
Okay.
Thought that'd add a little something, and it's been real popular. People love just watching the planes come in. Monday was a treat to watch because, you know, 3,000 operations in 3,000 landings in 9 hours is just phenomenal.
Indeed, and St. Cloud State University has been a key player in not only supplying interns and personnel, but also in equipment.
Absolutely. We have an internship program that... my counterpart, the chairman of EIA Radio, Jim Gray, runs and teaches, and he brings approximately 12 interns every year. It varies one or two here from here to there, of a combination of radio students as well as video production students, and they do a lot of the work in the background as well as produce much of the content you hear on the air. Obviously, they're not... the voice on the air, but they do all the post-production work. They prep all the promos, every imaging spot you hear. That's all done almost exclusively by our intern staff.
Along with the interns, how many other volunteers are there? And some of them are longtime volunteers as well.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, Digital Dave helped start the station 22 years ago. We have some members that come and go and can come more often than others. Fareed Gio obviously was around in the beginning as well. He was able to make it up here just for one day this year, but it was always good to see him. We have a ton of returners. What we see lately is we see interns. They come in as part of the SCSU, St. Cloud State University intern program, and then we'll see them return the following year or after they're done taking the internship program and become longtime folks. We had three former interns this year cross the five-year volunteer mark. And we have a plaque in our studio to denote such things. We have a number of interns who are on their ninth and tenth years. It's really great to see, and it's really cool. So our permanent staff, those who are not interns currently, is somewhere around 25 people or so.
All right. You're broadcasting AM 1210, where the station started many, many years ago.
Yes.
I inherited, because I came from a radio background, EIA had an information station transmitter.
Yes.
That was gifted to us a number of years ago. We used to do traffic information on it.
Mm-hmm.
And about the time EIA radio started, when I found out about that, we switched over to the AM 1210 and then eventually to the FM transmitter.
Yes.
And then to the stream, and I remember the one of the very first years we did streaming, the great lengths that we had to go through just to get an internet connection from 20th Street on the north end of the airport to
yes.
The studios that were then sort of on the the center of the flight line.
We made a number of hops to make that happen to get internet out in the studio. So essentially what we did is we got a hold of the local ISP. The only one available in the area, and the closest they could get to our building on the grounds was the Weeks Hangar. And so we, from there, rode on the fiber that is laid around the grounds all the way over to the comm center. But then we still had to get to the comm center north up to our building at the time and rode across old copper lines in the ground with that, with some wacky, you know, glued together and duct tape technology. But we made it work, and it was great, and it was a huge success. And, you know, we get hundreds of thousands of listeners during the week now of Air Venture. What we call Air Venture Week is actually, we count the Sunday before, because we have such an uptick in traffic when we calculate the stats on that Sunday before, because everybody's anticipating it.
Right.
Right up till the Sunday actual end of Air Venture. And we, in the, you know, other 50 and a half weeks a year, or 51 weeks a year, give or take, depending on when you count it, we're averaging into the millions of listeners each year. I think our stats, when I checked at the beginning of the week, and I did it for one calendar year, I think I did this on Tuesday, calendar year to calendar year, somewhere around 5.5 million listeners from 120 countries or so.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I do, in that first year, we weren't sure what the traffic would be like. And
no, we weren't.
We were amazed. I remember being amazed at the amount of traffic that was overnight. So mm-hmm. When it's 1 o'clock in the morning here, people on the other side of the world were tuning in to hear the recap and replay of the previous day's events.
Absolutely. So we used to, when we first started streaming, right around that same time, we were programming overnight. So we were trying to slot specific content and recreate the program day. And we realized that because all these people are essentially watching or listening, I should say, to us, you know, at a 12-hour difference on the clock, we thought, you know, this is silly. We should replay the day. All the stuff that they missed, they could essentially listen to now as if it were real time. So essentially what happens when we go to overnights after, you know, either Three in the Woods ends or the air show ends, we begin the broadcast day at 6 a.m., and that's what we start playing. So essentially they get 6 a.m. to roughly the air show in the overnight cycle.
That's amazing. Not only the technology of being able to stream, but also doing remote broadcasts like this one. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not in the studio.
I'm in the studio, and you're on the stand. So,
and J-Mont G with On the Fly.
Absolutely.
And you can even make it from the seaplane base.
Which, yeah, he'll be out there today. You can check out J-Mont G and our rig at 1 o'clock today out at the seaplane base. I mean, I think about, you know, some of the first innovations that I tried to help with. I remember going out on the field at one point and trying to set up a Skype call back to the studio. And that was the first attempt at a remote that I remember doing. I also remember we took a phoner from the Breezy one time, a Breezy flight, which was
Breezy.
Wasn't great radio, but it was really funny. I'm not going to lie. You know, you heard a lot of wind noise. And essentially the person on the phone yelling and talking about how everybody looked like ants down below. So we've had some great moments in our history from, you know, Digital Dave talking about mountain flying and losing complete control because he thought maybe someone was actually flying a mountain. But, you know, we've had a lot of fun, and we hope we bring something to members and just aviation enthusiasts around the world.
And not just this one week out of the year.
No.
The EIA radio stream continues
the
other 51 weeks. So
absolutely.
When everybody goes home, if you need that Air Venture fix, you can pick up some of the selected programming.
Absolutely. And although it doesn't get, you know, it doesn't have quite a range, you can still pick up AM 1210. It plays the same content year-round as well.
How many years of archives are actually online now?
So because, you know, technology has changed so much and the presence of computers at the station are a more recent event, I'll say, I think our archives only go back to about 2003, which is still a pretty good run. I mean, it's, you know, it's 15 years worth of archives. And certainly, like, those first 2 years, we have, you know, onesie, twosie amount of interviews. But by the time you get to, you know, 2006 or so, we have every piece of audio that we've recorded, every interview that was worth saving, let's say, you know, stuff like that. And it's all out there. Most recently, in the last 2 years, it's been great because we partner directly with EA because they host our website, which is essentially a portion of the AirVenture website. The quickest way to get to it, though, is just go to earadio.net. But the cool part about that is they've actually given us control of our portion of the website because they're really inundated with their own work. So right. we've got a group of tech, you know, very technical people here, very technical minded, and updating website is not a big deal. So they've let us have access to it. We turn around our archives within the same day now. So you can, anything you hear during the day, generally speaking, by the end of that broadcast day, or at the very latest, the next day, you can go out and find on our website at earadio.net and click on the archives link.
Amazing. Tom Balistrieri, one of the station managers for EIA Radio. Tom, I want to thank you for all of your volunteer service, not only during AirVenture, but year-round, because it's like everything with AirVenture. It doesn't just happen once a year. It takes a lot of planning and work to keep it all going in the right direction.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. You're listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.